Republicans in the state legislature are out with a new set of bills they say will help with a shortage of workers in the state. The bills would change the rules on some safety net programs like unemployment and Medicaid. Some Democrats and advocates say the restrictions aren't the right approach. We're taking a closer look at the legislation with one of the Republican lawmakers behind that package of bills. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you rely on unemployment compensation, especially during the pandemic? If so, what do you think about the idea of tying the amount of benefits available to the state's unemployment rate? Are you a business owner who's had trouble hiring workers? Do you want to see changes in some of these safety net programs that might help you out? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Senator Chris Capping is the state Senate president. He's a Republican representing Wisconsin's 33rd state Senate district, which covers much of Waukesha County. Senator Capping, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Can you talk about what led you and your colleagues to tackle this series of safety net related issues right now?
It's really been a lot of constituent contacts. It's been personal experience out there where there's very few people who have gone out and not, you know, 2 days ago, I went to get a couple of parts for my lawnmower for the snowblower, and I went up to the door and there was a sign that said, sorry, we're closed because we can't find workers. There's restaurants that are limiting their hours. There's a Cousins by us that actually shut down on the weekends because they said we can't find people to work. Yet we see this crazy phenomenon where we've got we were looking at the medical assistant and the food share numbers, and we've got those are skyrocketing. We've got medical assistants up 40%. And when we looked into it, we found that there's a significant number of checks and balances that typically are in place, but because of COVID and some of the changes in the temporary laws, the integrity of the programs are no longer being checked. So, for instance, if you go out and you have a job interview and you simply just skip the interview, or if you have a person who – we actually had a person in my district talk to us about this. They had the opportunity to go full-time with their employer, and they said, you know what, I'm on benefits right now, and I don't have to get off of them, so I'm just going to stay on them, and they turned down the work. So those are the type of situations where we said we have to do something about the integrity of these programs because very few people feel that fraudulent activity should be digging into the pot of money that has been set aside as a safety net for individuals who do need it. We want to make sure that people who are on the program actually need this to get them, you know, through their hard time.
I want to look at some of the specifics now. One of the bills that you actually co-sponsored would prohibit single adults from turning down a job to remain on Medicaid, that situation you just outlined. Can you talk about what would change and how it might be enforced?
So what would happen is this individual that we spoke with in this situation, they could go from part-time to a full-time. And if they turn down that job, which they did, so it basically will be an increase in employment, but it's the same thing. If you're not working, you're able to work, and you just simply choose not to accept the interview or the job opening, then there's a mechanism that the Department of Workforce Development would essentially create an option for most likely an employer to say, hey, I offer this person a position. We know that they're on unemployment insurance, and that's not what that program is for. If they can't work, that's a different situation. That's not what unemployment insurance is for. So that's really how that would function. It would just ensure that if somebody's getting unemployment benefits, it's because they can't find a job, not because they're choosing not to take a job.
With that situation with Medicaid, could there be some kind of solution that would say, hey, you're not risking your health care to get a better job? We can, I don't know, a sliding scale or something like that?
We actually have that in place already. So that's what BadgerCare is. And so as, let's say, somebody moves from half-time to three-quarter time, their paycheck's going to increase. And what we did years ago as part of BadgerCare was say, let's create a step program so that instead of just having the benefit cliff, which is kind of what you're alluding to, where all of a sudden you just lose all your benefits, you actually gradually transition off of government subsidy onto you paying part of the premium. So it's actually a graduated scale. As your income goes up, the amount that you pay goes up and the amount the government pay goes down. So we have a program in place at all levels to ensure that takes place.
Another bill in the package would tie the length of unemployment benefits available to the state's current unemployment rate. Can you talk about that change?
Yeah, that's something that I actually proposed a couple sessions ago. It's a situation where some other states already have this in place, but when we're looking at how can we better connect workers with the jobs that are available, these states saw significant declines in the people who were on unemployment and increases in people who moved into the workforce, back into the workforce, when they reduced the number of weeks that are available based on how much unemployment or where the unemployment rate is. The easy way to say that is if there are more jobs available to the workforce, then there's going to be fewer weeks that you can be on the unemployment system. And that it really helps just connect the workers with the jobs that are out there.
Another issue we saw, of course, in the early stretch of the pandemic in particular, was a lot of delays in the state's unemployment compensation system. Another bill in the package you all are calling the unemployment system tune-up. Can you tell us what that would do?
Yes. Yeah, that actually, we expand the call center hours. So people who do have unemployment insurance needs, we want to make sure that they can get in so that they can get the benefits that the program has setting aside for them. We put in additional training for employers. Hey, here's how you can use the system. If you're going to be laying somebody off, here's some resources you can give that person so they know how to get in. We want to increase the audits of the work search. So right now, what the program had was you were supposed to be doing work searches because, again, these are not people who can't work. These are people who can work. They just, for some reason, lost their job. So we want to make sure that the work searches are still being done. And then what we did, too, is we said, hey, one of the problems that we had with the crazy increase in claims was we didn't have enough personnel. So we actually would allow the Department of Administration, which is probably the largest organization within state government, they can actually move employees into the Department of Workforce Development to assist with those claims. So they've got more flexibility in, hey, we have an increased demand and need. Let's make sure we've got the employees to handle that internally so we don't have people waiting over a year to get their benefits.
Talking to State Senator Chris Kapinga about a series of proposed changes to unemployment compensation and some Medicaid rules in Wisconsin as employers say they're having a hard time finding people to work for them. Senator Kapinga, stepping back from some of the specifics, can you talk about your philosophy of what a safety net program should look like and how it should function?
Yeah, it actually stems from me growing up. So I grew up on a farm and we were extremely poor. We had some very hard years. And I remember my parents going on to government assistance for a period of time. And I remember seeing that and the feeling that went with it. I was just like, I don't want to have this in my life. And I was able to step in and engage in the workforce. I think I started my first job when I was 10 years old. And, you know, we were very poor. So I was buying my own clothes at 12 years old. That's kind of the background of my drive to help people engage in purpose. And that you find that through engaging in what you're good at. Everybody's gifted at something. Let's help connect them with that so they can be independent of this government program that, you know, frankly, I've never met a person who's on a government program that says, oh, I love being in this situation. I don't want people to have to be in those situations. So that's why I've been working on this for 10 years on reforming our system to help connect people with available jobs.
In just our last half a minute or so, what's the timeline on this package?
Well, we just finalized it probably towards the end of the year. We were working on, hey, what is going to be in and out of this package? There were a lot of things proposed. So we finalized the package. Now the package is released. We have authors for the bills, and it's going into the co-sponsorship phase where the other legislators can look at it, and it'll start going through committee process. So the different committees will hear the bills. The public will have a chance to come in and express concerns, express support, And then if it passes out of committee, then we would bring it to the floor of the legislature in both houses. If it passes that, then the governor would have a chance at signing these into law, and we can start fixing some of the issues we have.
Senator Kapinga, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Senator Chris Kapinga is the president of the state Senate, a Republican representing Wisconsin's 33rd Senate district in Waukesha County. Up next, we'll hear from a researcher on safety net programs. That's coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our look at proposals that would limit some safety net benefits here in Wisconsin. Republican sponsors say the bills would help with the state's worker shortage. Some Democrats say the bills take access to those benefits in the wrong direction. Andrew Stettner is a senior fellow at the Century Foundation, a progressive think tank focused on economic, racial, and gender equity. I talked to him earlier today. Can you take us back to the early days of the pandemic and talk about the scale of need there was for help for people who are unemployed during the pandemic?
Well, it's very unprecedented, you know, what we saw. One out of four Americans ended up needing an unemployment check because of the scale of the immediate closures and all the ripple effects through the service sector, especially tourism, restaurants. You know, there were tens of millions of Americans who lost their job. And because of unemployment benefits, we actually were able to stop any increase in poverty in 2020. That's how effective this system was with the combination of state benefits and federal assistance.
Now, we still have the pandemic going on, of course, but those unemployment numbers have dropped a lot. Is this an okay time to dial back some of the extended benefits, the extended length of benefits that we had? I know some have been dialed back already. Can we get back to normal now with our unemployment system?
You know, the extensions of federal benefits and the special benefits for those who lost work because of the pandemic, you know, they started winding down of Labor Day of last year. And I think there is some regret that those benefits are not available. You know, there are obviously many individuals who have to quit a job, you know, this year because, you know, they had to take a 2-week quarantine and their employer says, you know, we don't have any time off. And so it's unfortunate that we don't have these benefits. And we have to remember, you know, that unemployment is a difficult thing, you know, in all times. Especially when you lose a job permanently, people need time to look for the right job. We know still in this economy that there are many jobs that aren't really good out there. So you'll need time to find the right job for their skills and experience and to support their family.
We hear, though, about businesses having trouble finding enough workers, particular sectors, raising wages to bring in more workers. Isn't this the time to dial back on unemployment numbers when there, at least on paper, seems to be a lot of opportunity out there?
You know, where the state that we're at, you know, right now with the unemployment benefit program, you know, in Wisconsin and states across the country, you know, the unemployment check covers less than half of your average paycheck. And no one wants to be on unemployment. But people, when they lose a job, they need that time to look for work and find the right job. And actually having a decent unemployment system helps people find a job. You know, if you're in a situation where you don't have any income support, it actually can be really hard to find work. Who's going to watch your kids? How are you going to put gas in the car? So having some cushion helps you go between jobs. But in this situation, I think we're already there. You know, benefits, you know, only last 26 weeks. They're less than half of your average paycheck. People know that there's no future in that, and they're going to return to work as quickly as we want. You know, we've gone to a situation when there were people complaining about these worker shortages when there were 16, 15 million people on unemployment benefits, and now when there are 2 million people on unemployment benefits, they're still blaming unemployment benefits. Something else is going on. The older Americans, you know, anxious about going back to work, lower immigration. You know, there's a lot of other factors going on right now with these employers struggling to find workers and also haven't been able to get away with it for a really long time. You know, you compare what people used to get, you know, we were talking before from walking into a factory or walking into a mine compared to what they do from walking into a Taco Bell or McDonald's. You know, the conditions are terrible. There's no job security, no benefits. And employers have been getting away with that for a long time. They're going to have to start raising their wages because I think after the pandemic, people don't really want to put up with that anymore.
We're talking to Andrew Stettner, senior fellow at the Century Foundation, about unemployment benefits at this stage in the pandemic. Andrew, do you think there are policies that could remove some hurdles, some obstacles that might prevent people from seeking a job, from finding a good job for them?
Well, I think that we need to be much more active than we've been. You know, I think, and I've looked at what a number of governors have done. I saw a big announcement from the governor about how they're going to help connect people to jobs. And, you know, I dug into it, and it was all just a bunch of websites. You know, honestly, people need sometimes more than just tell you to go to a website. You need a counselor to talk to them. What are your skills? What do you, where do you want to go? If that job that you had before is no longer there, where are you going to go? If you don't want to go back into retail, what do you want to do? What am I hearing as a job counselor from employers about what they need? Maybe you could go work in construction. Maybe you could work as a machinist, even though you never thought about it. Maybe you should go to some retraining. We've left people out of their own, and I think there's still a lot of people that are bewildered, you know, and confused. So I would say be more active. We call them active labor market policies. Get people, especially as the pandemic is hopefully easing, get them into job clubs, counseling sessions. I don't think we're doing enough in that area to connect workers to businesses. And this is very relevant for our older workers. Even at a time of job shortage, you know, an employer might say, well, you know, this guy's 57 years old. Is he going to be able to hack it? 62 years old, is he going to hack it? There's a lot of discrimination against older workers. When you have an agency that's in there and talking to the employer, say, no, I've talked to this guy. I think he can really do it. Maybe you could try him out for 3 weeks. So I think being more active also with our employers to make sure that they're not discriminating, have ideas in their mind about who can do what job.
One thing on the table in the state legislature here in Wisconsin is an idea that, okay, if unemployment numbers go up above a certain level to a high level, great, extended benefits kick in. When it comes back down to a lower level, we'll go back to our normal timeline of benefits. What do you think of that kind of, I guess you might call it a counter-cyclical approach to unemployment benefits?
You know, what I've seen from some of the proposals that actually would cut back, you know, beyond the basic 26-week package of benefits. And that would be a pretty shocking move for the state of Wisconsin. You know, this program was born in Wisconsin. The first unemployment benefit program was, in fact, the Wisconsin plan. And the idea that temporary unemployment is a menace to society if people experience poverty and hardship after years of working. We should not cut back beyond the 26 weeks of benefits. That's the minimum amount that we should have in all economic conditions. You know, I had a Southern labor leader tell me once, you know, the unemployment rate is not 5%. If you're the one who's laid off, it's 100%. If you're the one who's working, it's 0%. You know, so if you, especially if you lose is a good job paying with benefits, a company, as they do all the time, moves their production, you know, to overseas, you know, that's a big change for you. So that basic 26 week of benefits should be inviolate. You know, proposals and federal laws, they already only provide those additional weeks, 13 weeks of benefits, you know, for example, or 26 weeks as we had during the pandemic. They only provide those when there's a period of high unemployment. But that 26 weeks should not be scaled back. That's the basic promise that people have. And people work for 10, 15 years, they get laid off, and they say, well, I can't even get 26 weeks of benefits. You know, that doesn't seem, you know, right, especially for how little employers pay in, you know, for the program.
Another proposed change involves people who are receiving health coverage via Medicaid, BadgerCare here in Wisconsin. The change would say, hey, if you're doing that, this is mostly applying to single people here. If you're doing that, if you refuse a higher paying job or a pay increase because you're worried that that's going to put you over the threshold for that health care coverage, we're still going to kick you off of that coverage. I'm guessing you're not wild about that idea, but is there something we could do to not penalize that person who's getting coverage for taking a higher paying job? Is there some sort of like graduated approach we could do?
You know, I think part of the issue is that, you know, that there's some limitations, you know, that, you know, in our approach, you know, you have Medicaid, you know, benefits, which are generous, you know, maybe compared to what people can get from their employers or from the health exchange. We should not have health benefits, you know, the quality of them be so contingent and have these benefits cliffs. One thing we can do to help people is, you know, say, well, you can stay on Badger Care for another, you know, 6 months, even if you go over the limit. You know, so give people we call them a slide down rather than a cliff. We see that in childcare benefits. But the real thing is we should have healthcare, you know, really available for everyone who needs it on an affordable basis. That was in the Build Back Better Act that has not passed yet, which would basically cover all the costs for those middle income workers who have to go through the healthcare exchange and make it more similar to what people get in Medicaid.
As we wrap up, Andrew, is there a lesson that you're hoping we take at the state level, say, when it comes to unemployment that we might have learned from the pandemic?
I hope we learn how important it is, how important the unemployment program is to keeping people whole economically. Look at the forest for the trees. You know, the economy has bounced back faster than any forecaster believed it would. And families have money to spend, so much money that even prices for things like used cars has gone up. That's a success. So let's not cut back a system that really did everything we could have asked it to do.
Andrew, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob. We really appreciate the time.
That was my conversation with Andrew Stettner, senior fellow at the progressive think tank, the Century Foundation. I talked to him earlier today about some of the Republican proposals to limit safety net benefits like unemployment in Wisconsin. Earlier, we talked to Republican State Senate President Chris Kapinga about his perspective on that legislation. He's a sponsor of one of a package of bills related to those topics.